So the idea of getting real customer feedback and then walking through and looking at how our processes positively or negatively impacted the client experience just completely changed my thinking around how we drive business process improvement and efficiency inside the companies. It's really not about being perfect. It's about striving to serve your customer. And if you make a mistake, because everybody does, it's how do I recover from that and do it in a way that still helps the customer be successful.
Hi, everybody. I'm Elizabeth Swan.
And I'm Tracy O'Rourke.
And we are from GoalingSixSigma.com, and you're listening to the Just in Time Cafe podcast, where we bring you fabulous apps, polls, news, books, and people so you can build your problem-solving muscles.
You know, there seems to be a lot of very tall people in here today. Are those basketball players?
Well, maybe my last interview, Chip Schaefer of the Chicago Bulls, maybe he sent them here.
Really? I'm wondering, is coffee part of sports performance?
Tracy, it's part of everyday performance excellence. You know that.
Well, would you grab me and you a cup of liquid excellence and join me in the private dining room?
Of course.
All right, Elizabeth, what's on the menu? What goes with this liquid excellence that we're drinking today?
Everything goes with coffee, Tracy, but let's look at the lineup for today. We're going to review an app that is a personal productivity juggernaut. It can do anything. Then it's Lean Six Sigma Industry News, where we find out how Kern County, California is using Lean Six Sigma to help recover from losing oil and gas property tax revenue. For the printed page, we'll review an oldie but goodie about the power of the checklist. And finally, it's my interview with Leslie Henkler. We found out about her from Karen Ross, co-author of The Toyota Way to Service Excellence. And Leslie's got some cool insights on truly understanding the customer's journey. And I'm feeling the excellence, Tracy. How about you?
I'm feeling it too. Remember to stay tuned for this month's coupon code in order to get a discount on GoLeanSixSigma.com's online training.
Let's get to that appetizer.
Okay, Elizabeth, how does an app become a juggernaut? Does it butter my toast, mow my lawn? What's going on?
Okay, Tracy, I'm not really sure about the whole mowing of the lawn thing, but a juggernaut is something powerful and generally large. You don't really think of an app as large, but this one is definitely powerful and it's big in terms of ability. It's called Notability, and it was referred to us by Sally Toyster, Marriott's senior operations leader and a guest of this program. She says this is her number one app. It's for note-taking. It integrates the ability to write, type, insert photos, audio, video, and other files. You can import from multiple sources, such as Dropbox, Google Drive, OneDrive. You can also easily export to those same locations, as well as email and iTunes. And you can convert files to PDF from within the app. So she loves it when she's walking in hotels. It's easy for her to take notes, photos, even interviews. She captures all in this app, either on her phone or her iPad, and then she exports it. So lots of great uses for this app. Process walks come to mind for me. How about you, Tracy? I know you tried it.
Yeah, I did try it, and I love the idea of doing a process walk with this kind of an app. If you've got your iPhone or your iPad and you want to take pictures and then you want to write some notes right next to it. So I really like that idea. I recently conducted a class and I took some pictures and I wanted to put together a journal of what the experience was. So I tried it on my Mac laptop. And so far, I really am liking it. I really want to try it on the iPad because I think I'm missing some really awesome opportunities to leverage all of its tools, because obviously with my Mac, I can't actually, it's not a touch screen. So I really want to see what it does once I start to use it on my mobile or my iPad. So far, it's looking good though. I can't wait to say it's a juggernaut in my life.
The app's called Notability. Check it out.
I'm Tracy O'Rourke and you're listening to the Just in Time Cafe podcast. Up next, it's Lean Six Sigma in the news.
Apparently, Kern County is recovering from a $40 million deficit, and that was from when the property tax value of oil and gas properties plummeted. So what are they doing, Tracy?
Yes, so this was an article from James Berger in Bakersfield, California, which is an independent family-owned newspaper. And James wrote that Kern County's efforts to become more efficient are really becoming fruitful. So the county's general fund, its main operational pool of money, has shrunk its deficit from $40 million to $12 million over the last 2 years, which is pretty incredible. And Devin Brown, the chief human resources officer for Kern County, said that the county has adopted a culture of innovation and they've begun training their managers and line employees in Lean Six Sigma. They're trying to work harder. I'm sorry. They're trying to work smarter, not harder. And that's a really, Lean Six Sigma does help people do that. Jeffrey Hill, who leads the county administrative office's general services function, talked about how the county is moving to a lease program for their fleet of 800 vehicles. And if they are successful with this 5-year pilot program, they should save hundreds of thousands of dollars. So hopefully they're going to get some success from there. As a matter of fact, they're supposed to save about $1.5 million a year. That's just not chump change. So looking forward to seeing if that pilot is successful. And it sounds like there will be more innovation and improvements coming from Kern County.
That's a great story. It reminds me of process improvement. Basically, they had a burning platform, which was the $40 million deficit. But it probably showed up all these incredible opportunities that they weren't seeing because of all that oil and gas tax revenue, right? So once they lost it, suddenly things started to emerge like, wow, here's all these opportunities. So it's a great story. I love hearing it.
Yes. Sometimes the burning platform is a great motivator.
Absolutely. I'm Elizabeth Swan, and you're listening to the Just in Time Cafe podcast. In a short while, we'll get to hear my interview with Leslie Henkler, the Director of Process Improvement and Business Efficiency for TriNet, an HR services provider. But first, it's the printed page. So Tracy, this month, we're going back to an oldie but goodie, the Checklist Manifesto, How to Get Things Right by Atul Gawande. And he's actually a great writer. He's an easy read. He's published great articles in The New Yorker. He's got two other books. He's also a surgeon at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. So he knows firsthand the power of checklists, and as do we. It's a short book, so I try to tell people that it's very accessible, and I was reminded of it because I suggested it to Chip Schaefer, because he mentioned he was using checklists with his players on the Chicago Bulls. So this book just comes to mind a lot when I work with teams, and they're struggling with error-proofing sometimes complex situations, and in the hospital world, they developed like a pre-surgery 90-second checklist, which made just unbelievable improvements in surgery errors. They managed to reduce deaths and complications by more than 1/3 in 8 hospitals around the world. And it didn't cost anything. That's the other thing, is checklists are free, right? We use them right before doing these podcasts. We've done dozens and dozens of podcasts, but it's no substitute. We've got to go through and make sure we're doing what we need to beforehand. So they're great for mistake-proofing. They're great for bringing folks together on a process. They've obviously been also used in the airline industries. They're just all around great. So Tracy, what's your experience with checklists?
No, I absolutely agree with everything you've said. Checklists, I think I live by them, but I think they come in most handy when you're not doing something every day or every week, and you don't really remember, and you have to think really hard, well, what was I supposed to do again? So the podcast we do twice a month, and it's great to have the checklist to go over any of the things we need to do before we actually record the podcast, which is very helpful. But I also have an RV that I purchased, and when I want to take it out on the road, I have a checklist for that too. And I was finding that getting ready to go out in my RV was taking up to 3 hours to prepare the RV. And I'm like, I identified a process improvement opportunity here. I don't want to spend 3 hours trying to have fun in my RV. So I am working on reducing that change over time. And part of it is having a checklist. It's been very helpful. So now I've cut that time in half.
That's actually reminding me, we've got a new class just launched at UC San Diego. And one of the participants also has these, I think they're fairly high-tech camping trips. So their checklists are critical in terms of having the right gear and food and all that. So they use checklists, but she's trying to reduce the time it takes, just like you, to get ready for one of these big trips. So we're going to have to do some cross-pollination here.
Definitely. So I love checklists, very helpful, and I just want to make sure I don't miss anything, and I don't want to have to spend too many brain cells trying to remember what I'm supposed to do.
It's time to announce coupon code.
This code is for 20% off any of our Lean Six Sigma training and certification courses, white belt, yellow, green, black, and the Lean training.
If you've just joined us at the Just In Time Cafe, use coupon code 20CAPPUCCINO, that's 20CAPPUCCINO, during checkout. Make sure to use it soon since the coupon code will expire at the end of May.
Coming up next is today's special. Elizabeth gives us a little preview of her interview with Leslie Hinkler.
Leslie started her career at Kodak, and she's part of a trio of influential women who form a lineage of mentorship. And that's a nice story. That involves Karen Ross of the Toyota Way to Service Excellence. And Leslie's got a great approach to truly understanding the customer. She finds that most people focus on the point in time where customers ask for our products and services, and we fail to learn more. We don't stay with them. So she has great insights. She's got lots to share.
Looking forward to it.
Hi, and welcome to today's special. I'm honored to be speaking today with Leslie Hinkler. She's the Director of Process Improvement and Business Efficiency for Trinet. Welcome, Leslie.
Hey, thank you.
Trinet provides organizations with human resources services like payroll, benefits, technology, and a whole lot more. In her work there, Leslie creates and implements lean processes that help colleagues maximize service quality for Trinet clients. Her human resources industry experience includes 10 years developing and executing process improvement strategy at the enterprise level. She also spent 12 years directing the Lean Initiative for Kodak and has consulted on service excellence for lean processes. Leslie and I found out that we may have overlapped at Kodak, where I worked with her colleague, Bob Mizell, who I affectionately refer to as Data Man, but that's another story. Leslie is a certified Six Sigma Black Belt. She's also certified by Shinjijitsu Gemba Kaizen, and she holds a bachelor degree from State University of New York College at Brockport and an MBA in Operations Management from St. John Fisher College. I learned about Leslie from Karen Ross, the Shingo Prize winner and co-author of The Toyota Way to Service Excellence, that we had as a guest on the Just In Time Cafe earlier this year. And Karen told me that Leslie was her first teacher. And we love highlighting the women that work in the quality field. So I am truly happy to have Leslie as a guest today. So Leslie, I've got a few questions for you.
Excellent. What have you got for me, Elizabeth?
Well, first off, what got you started with process improvement?
Back in the 90s, I was working with Kodak and they hired a new CEO who brought the Six Sigma methodology into the company. I was identified as an early participant in the Six Sigma program, and honestly, I have never looked back. Around the same time, our senior vice president of manufacturing, he brought the Toyota production system in, and with that, he brought in a woman named Mary Osmalski, who was a pioneer in lean and in lean learning. She became my lean mentor. She was the most wonderful, spectacular coach in the world in terms of helping to understand how to use the thinking to drive business results. I spent the next 8 years learning and thinking of Toyota Production System and the various tools to employ to serve the customers, our employees, and the organization. So honestly, from the very beginnings of my learnings from Dr. Deming through my study of the Toyota Production System and Lean, the more I learn on it, the more intrigued I become by process improvement and the things that we can do to help businesses.
That is a great legacy. And it's also, you're reminding me that Karen told me that she learned from you and you learned from Mary. So this is a really kind of a fabulous legacy of strong women in the quality field and passing the knowledge on to each other. I love that. I love that story.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unbelievably important to me to help teach others. And I love, love, love to help teach other women and then watch them go forward and teach others around the initiatives that we drive.
Yeah, it's a great cycle. So let me ask you, what led you to focus on gathering voice of the customer? I know that comes through strong in a lot of your thoughts. So tell me about that.
Well, in the very beginning, right, when we started to learn about Lean and TPS, we really studied the Toyota house. And if you look at the house and you step back, at the top of the house is the customer. And everything else about the building of the house, from the foundation, from the pillars on the side of Just In Time and Jadoka, from the people in the middle, every bit of that, the balance that you bring with the tools and the thinking is to keep the focus on the customer and deliver what the customers want. So that was like my initial introduction to really focusing on the customer, the client, them being the purpose of the work that we do and the businesses that we work in. I had an opportunity to go to a conference on business process improvement, and several of the breakouts there focused on what was new to me, something called customer journey mapping. And this concept just absolutely struck me. The idea was to walk your processes in the shoes of the customer. So often as business process improvement people, we want to fix the process, but we don't always think even about upstream and downstream internal customers, much less the experience of the external customer. So the idea of getting real customer feedback and then walking through and looking at how our processes positively or negatively impacted the client experience just completely changed my thinking around how we drive business process improvement and efficiency inside the companies. So it's really not about being perfect. It's about striving to serve your customer. And if you make a mistake, because everybody does, it's how do I recover from that and do it in a way that still helps the customer be successful. So it is absolutely crucial in my mind and why I focus on that as the way I drive the work that I do every day.
It's funny because on the one hand, it feels like that should be obvious, like businesses are there to provide services for customers. So why would you not be making sure your processes were fulfilling that service? And people get so internally focused. It's suddenly, this is convenient for me. This works for me. Now the process is really efficient. And then they completely forget about that person, especially if they're way inside, that's out there on the end receiving some good or service. So it's a really great focus. It's so strangely and commonly lost. So I totally hear you on that. And I like that. What was that term again?
The customer journey mapping.
Customer journey mapping. That's cool. I'm gonna look into that. The other thing, could you just define for our listeners JIDOKA?
Sure. So there's the two pillars, right? The just-in-time piece that most people are familiar with. The JIDOKA is the idea of mistake-proofing, right? So the idea is that we want to make things just as clients need them or customers need them, but we want to build into our processes the mistake-proofing so that our processes become stronger, and it's that balance between the two. It's the quality at the source thinking.
Nice. Like, thank you for defining that. So given that, what are some common mistakes that you see people making when they're gathering the voice of the customer?
Honestly, I think it's that we assume what customers want versus actually asking them. So we think they know, right? We get negative feedback on NPS surveys, right? Net Promoter Score surveys, or we worry about all the client calls for people that come in, but we forget to think about what do they really want. We don't ask them. So we react, you know, as we should, right? When things go wrong, we need to fix them. But we focus so much on fixing things that are broken that we forget to step back and really think about what do we do well? Why do they come to us? And then how do we ensure that those things that make customers happy are the things we never lose sight of while we're working to fix anything that goes wrong in the process? To me, that's a really big one. The other thing I think we forget sometimes is that there's different kinds of customers. Everybody's not the same, right? We tier customers or we think about large customers or small customers, but we put them in boxes when we do that. And we really need to think about not how do we stratify them, but how do we really understand at the core what it is that they need and want from us? Why do they buy our product or service? And then how do we make sure we deliver that? I think we lose sight of that sometimes.
Yeah, there's so many stories and so many instances where you feel it because we're customers, right? So we're working with folks on how to listen to the customer or gather that voice, but we also live it. So I can remember being on Red Eyes and they would, you know, and what's the goal? When you're on a red eye, what do you want to do as a customer? You know, you want to sleep.
Right.
And then they would, you know, 2 hours before the flight landed to get their process done, they'd start with their carts and start going down the lane and waking you up so you could have some stale bread and weak coffee. You know, like, why did I need this? Why are you handing this to me? So now I know a lot of airlines, if you've got some money, you can go up to a tier that they're not going to wake you up ever. Or you can put a little sticker on you somewhere saying, you know, let me sleep. And so they're recognizing there's, like you said, there's tiers. There's folks that maybe they are going to want to get up and get some food in them. And some of them are saying, no, if I fell asleep, you know, just let me be. That's what I got to do. So those are great. Those are really nice call outs there. So thinking about these efforts when you're working with folks to get the voice of the customer, do you have any pet peeves?
I wouldn't say I have pet peeves per se, but I do think that we tend to rely on survey scores and executive escalations and those sorts of pieces of feedback versus really understanding, as I said, what we're good at. And then how do we really understand the customer's journey in totality, right? So I work in the service industry, right? I work for a company that does human resource services and payroll processing. And from the time a client is first introduced to their salesperson until they've been with us for 2 or 3 years, when you look at that experience, it's really different than it is when you do point in time experiences. And so I think that's one of the things that all of us can do better and that we can strive to do to deliver better service and upgrading service and targeting it to the right client need at the right time in their journey with the company.
So that's a great differentiation. And say a little bit more about what you just described as point in time.
So for us, right, we use with mostly small to medium-sized companies. So a company that's coming in with us that's small, they may have one set of needs. They've got 50 employees, right? They want to do 401k and they'd like payroll. Maybe they want to get workers' comp or some other kind of benefits from us. As they get bigger, they may become more in need of other things. Maybe they need strategic human resource services. Maybe they need healthcare. And so if you just think how they came in as how they're always going to be, I find you miss the opportunity to really target what it is that's changed as the client and their own business has changed and grown, and then how we can serve them better.
So it's kind of like staying with them on their journey. Don't just look at that point at which you brought them in, but stay with them.
Absolutely. Checking in with them periodically to ensure, again, that in their journey with you, you're meeting their needs as they change.
Nice. That's nice. Is there anyone, I know Mary has been a big influence, obviously, as your first teacher. Is there anyone who has significantly influenced you over the years?
I would say yes. But other than Mary, who will always be my touchstone, right? She's the person who got me started. And when I think, what do I need to do or how do I want to think of this? I think of the lessons she gave me. One of the other people that Mary brought in when we were at Kodiak was a gentleman named Pascal Dennis. And Pascal he worked in Toyota. He is a strategic thinker and his primary mission, I think, is helping companies understand how to think strategically about your lean deployment. Again, so it's not this line is broken, let's apply lean. It's how do we, as the senior executives of the company, set our strategy and our true north? And then how do we help the next level understand the work they're going to do in a way that supports that true north and the idea of it going all the way up and down the organization? And I have found him to be just a phenomenal teacher and a phenomenal author. And I very often use his books and the stories from Pascal when I'm trying to show other people or help other people understand what we're thinking and why we're pushing in the direction or leaning in the direction that we are. The other thing I'll tell you is one of my favorite ways personally is to learn is by teaching and mentoring other people. And you mentioned Karen and my interactions with Karen. She taught me as much as she'll ever tell you that I taught her because she challenged me at every corner because she wanted to more deeply understand. And as someone who's been doing this, you think you've kind of got it, right? We run through cycles. I don't know anything. I know everything. Oh my God, I don't know anything. Right, because it's such a breadth of knowledge around the quality tools and methodologies. And she really helped me to frame and shape my own vision of how I am when I'm at work and when I'm deploying this thinking with teams. So I would say that she would be another one that strongly influenced me personally.
That's lovely. And I think of it as being a lifelong learner. Clearly you are one. And that sense of those cycles you go through, I got this, I don't got this. But for our listeners, just describe True North. I love that term and what it stands for, but just give our listeners a sense of what that means.
Sure. So the idea is your point where you're going. So if you think about the compass and you think about, right, the north, south, east, and west on the compass and that magnetic or true north, right? No matter where you are in the world, the compass will take you, if you set it up, it will point you to that true magnetic north. And so in my mind, there's distractions, right, throughout the day, throughout the year, that can take you off your purpose and cause you to lose sight of where it is that you're trying to take your business. And if routinely you check yourself back to, are the things we're doing, the work we're doing, taking us in the direction that we set, and letting those things that aren't kind of peel away and really help with focus. For me, that's the embodiment of the True North.
That's great. And just to check if you're serving your purpose, that's lovely. Well said. Thank you for the tips on Pascal's books, by the way. I will go check those out. We do a lot of reviews of industry books and try to focus on just stuff that will help our listeners. So I'm intrigued. So I'm going to check those out. Why do you think you do what you do? Like, what motivates you?
Helping other people gets me excited. Teaching others methods, thinking that enables them to then help themselves and help others. That is absolutely, that's the killer for me. That's the home run, right? You not going in and doing stuff for people, but helping them to understand and watching the light bulbs go off and then seeing them drive their own improvements in their own business processes as they're serving their customers, even internal, right? Upstream, downstream. I absolutely love to watch that happen and watch teams take it. And they'll take it to places I didn't imagine was possible once they get going and the excitement gets going.
That's lovely. Right. That resonates. Thank you. What is your favorite application of Lean Six Sigma at home or in your personal life, just away from work?
So I'll tell you that one of my very first Shinjitsu mentors, Mr. Hara, he taught me years ago that you don't do lean thinking at home. It will annoy your family. They will not appreciate it. They do not want you to lay all the things, the silverware out in a 5S way in the drawer. Just step away and leave them alone. So I've always tried to do that, right? We might be a little geeky in the basement with the tools and stuff so we can find them. But in general, we don't do it at home. Where when I'm outside of work, if I'm doing deployments or if I'm working with teams, it's usually through volunteers. I happen to be on the board of directors for the Greater Rochester Quality Council, and we do outreach. So I've worked with the YWCA to help them do some improvements to their processes where they're going and they're serving at home with young or new mothers and helping them. So that's where I deploy it outside of the work environment, where I get my enjoyment is truly in working with not-for-profits in the community to help them to better serve their constituents through my ability to share some learnings with them.
That's lovely. And it's great that you're able to spread that knowledge and ability into your community. I find that's something becomes more important, I think, as you get older and you have a little more capacity and you want to spread that and make and help your community in ways that you can. I also want to applaud your restraint of not applying Lean Six Sigma in the home. I have to say, I think my husband is like a secret black belt. He barely knows what I do, but he took butcher block, outlined all of his knives, routed out all the shape and created a drawer, basically a shadow board drawer to put his knives in. I was like, who taught you to do that?
But see, this is where it works. He came up with it himself. Had you done that for him, it may or may not have worked as well.
Oh, no.
That was always the differentiation.
Yeah, you're right about that. There is no me running that. That was his. So let me ask you, before we wrap it up, what are you working on now that you'd like to tell our listeners?
So honestly, I'm having a blast doing some things around book clubs. I like to go back and reread the books that have meant something to me. So I'm personally rereading Gemba Kaizen by Masaki Ima. That book always kind of inspired me. So I'm doing that, but I'm also running two different book clubs. One is at Trinet, and we're actually using one of Pascal's books, a book called Getting the Right Things Done. I have a fairly young team, And so we're learning together by going through and learning the thinking of strategy and strategy deployment through that. And I'm also doing a partnership with another friend of mine through Greater Rochester Quality Council. We're going to do a community book study, and we're going to be doing it on ADCAR, on the change management principles. So those are awfully fun. And again, right, it just keeps your mind busy and helps you keep learning. Should it ever stop snowing, my plan is to get outside and do some yard work and start getting things, you know, picked up and pruned up around the yard. So, right, we don't just do our lean work, but we have an awful lot of fun doing gardening and fun stuff at home with friends throughout the summer. So I'm very anxious for that to come too.
Oh, you're painting a rosy picture. I can't wait for that too. Well, I'm going to stay in touch with you on that book, the book clubs you have, especially the books you just mentioned. I'm going to make a note of. And check into those myself. I'm with you on that. I think those are the greatest ways to learn. So how can our listeners communicate with you or find you if they wanted to?
So on Twitter, it's at L Hankler. They can find me on Twitter. They can find me on LinkedIn. Just search for Leslie Hankler. It's the only one out there that I'm aware of. And we also have a LinkedIn page for Greater Rochester Quality Council, grqc.org. And any one of those ways will get folks connected to me or connected to the people in the groups that we work with.
Perfect. You've been listening to the Just in Time Cafe podcast. My guest today has been Leslie Hankler of TriNet. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. This was awesome. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I thoroughly enjoyed having a chance to talk with you, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Remember to check out our latest success story where Lynn Emmons of healthcare nonprofit Valle del Sol manages to improve the throughput of her audit process by 100%. Lynn created a super detailed storyboard. She's a great storyteller. It's a great webinar to download. And check out this month's Wonder Woman of Quality, Kirsty Dykes. She's the OPEX Program Administrator for the Division of Unemployment Insurance for the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. Christy's awesome. She teaches process improvement using Legos, origami, and dice.
Oh, I want to be in her class.
I know. What great classes. I suspect we'll be hearing a lot more from Christy.
And tune into our next episode where I interview Jim Benson, the author and creator of Personal Kanban. I thought all I needed was a shoe Kanban, but apparently I was wrong.
You were, Tracy. So wrong. Thanks for making the Just in Time Cafe a regular pit stop.
See y'all in 2 weeks.